Today, this is the last piece of the book we've been working through. The book is Frequency by Robert Morris. And the last segment is called Steward His Spoken Word. If it's called Steward His Spoken Word, and I think all of the messages have had steward in the titles, if I'm not mistaken. What does steward mean? I didn't want any ambivalence. I didn't want any gray area, so I did what I do. Well, in this case, I pulled out my phone. It's like, okay, steward, what does it mean? According to dictionary.com, steward as a noun is a person who manages another's property or financial affairs, one who administers anything as the agent of another or others. So a steward is a person. Or as a verb, to act as steward of or manage. And the other verb was to act or serve as steward. So we are supposed to steward His spoken word. So it's our job to manage what we're hearing. I was browsing through Facebook and I found this and I really enjoyed it. I see Kelsey squinting a little bit. So the scripture is John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. But what happened? There's the sheep sitting on a lounge chair. The radio's going, the headphones are on, the iPod's there. I don't see a phone, but I'm sure there's one somewhere. There's a TV, there's a laptop, and the Bible's just laying on the ground next to it. And what does the sheep say? I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. This week, this preparation week for this last message, that's me. And Kay's just as bad. Don't let her fool you. Don't let her just pick on me. She's just as bad. The TV's on, the Kindle's on, the phone's on. We may talk, we may not talk. I don't know. And how come I'm not hearing anything? How many times have we heard we need to make appointments and get quiet? And we know the things we need to do, but isn't this more fun? Sometimes. The crappy part of this is before you know it, the night's gone. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make an appointment. I'm going to do something. And then that's it. We lose the whole evening. And then it's time for bed. And it's time to start over. So for stewarding His spoken word, there are key verses. And I liked it so well, I had to do it in two translations because that's the other thing I do in over-preparing. So in New King James, we have Mark 4:24-25. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Well, we don't speak in King James normally, right? No. Or New King James, for that matter. No. Take heed means listen and pay attention. Consider carefully. That's a big flag. Take heed. There should be a waving flag. Okay, listen up. This is important. In the Amplified, they add a bunch of extra words. In this case, it clarifies. Sometimes it jumbles, but in this case, I really like the clarification. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has will more be given. And from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. But the point of that one in the Amplified is that we get out of God's word what we put into it. We have to put the time in. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. We have to put the time in. And then what do we do with that? We need to be obedient. What do we gain? Wisdom and knowledge. Good stewardship means to manage someone else's resources well. Jesus' warning in Mark tells us that we're responsible to steward God's spoken word as well. Amen. The better we manage God's resources, the more we have to manage. In the same way, if we steward or manage God's spoken word, we will hear him more. And I don't know if it was in the book or if it was just in my head, but I was reminded of the story of the talents, mm-hmm. where the landowner goes away and he has his three slaves. You know the story, Connie? I'm going to give you 10, I'm going to give you 5, and I'm going to give you 1. Invest my money, do something with it, and you know we'll see what happens when I get back. The first one invests and doubles. The second one, I'm not sure what he does, but he doubles his, and the third one buries it in the ground. So the landowner takes it away and gives it to somebody else. Wow, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? He had all this time, and he didn't do anything with what he had, so what are you supposed to do? One of the examples I read in the book was, if God puts on your heart to send a card or a letter or something to someone with an encouraging scripture, and you don't do it, what happens? Because Jay really needs to hear from God. So Kelsey, it's on you. You're supposed to do this. But life gets busy and things happen, and I'm going to do it. I'm not saying that you do this. But things get in the way. So the next thing that happens, Richard gets this inspiration that Jay really needs to be encouraged. He needs a card, he needs a letter, he needs something. So he stops what he's doing and he says, okay, I'm going to do it right now. Who's going to get the next message first?
Richard.
Right. Richard was obedient. He was right there on top of it. So not only are we supposed to be hearing, we need to act on what we're hearing. Because the Bible tells us that as believers, our lives are not our own. We belong to Christ. That means our time, our treasure, our talents, and even our futures are not our own. 1 Corinthians 3:23 tells us, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. We're not our own, right? We said yes. We handed it all over. We surrendered. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God has grace enough for everyone, but everyone is different. We're all individuals, and we're all unique, so that grace has to fit us. That's how I read that. I read God's varied grace as the grace that fits me. Some of this stuff gets repetitive. There's a reason. It's a good thing. Because if you notice on the repeats of Mark 4:24, there's different translations, so they all say the same thing a little bit differently. When God speaks to us, if we're faithful with the word he gives us, then he'll give us more words.
Amen.
It sounds easy, doesn't it? I think it sounds easy. The message is easy. It sounds easy. And then I remember that sheep sitting on that lounge chair. Yep, man, it's not as easy as it sounds. The Mark 4:24 in NIV says, consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Consider carefully what you hear. So what do you think was on that TV? What do you think was on that iPod? We saw the Bible on the ground. We saw Sheep Digest. You have to be careful and aware of what's going in your ears, because what goes in eventually comes out.
Amen.
There were 3 main points in this week's message. And the first one is, we are careful stewards of God's voice when we truly listen to him. It's about hearing, and we need to steward what we hear.
Amen.
A fun example on one of the note pages that were included. Have you ever misheard the lyrics of a song? I agree. I mean, if you don't have the words or the vocals aren't clear and they sound mumbly, the example in the book was, I think, Van Morrison's Brown Eyed Girl. And he had a friend who was convinced that the beginning of the song was, "Hey there, amigo." I looked it up on YouTube with the lyrics to be sure I was remembering right. I was like, oh yeah, that's really common. There was a song by Casting Crowns that came out, and in the chorus it says, "Ready yourselves." That is not what we heard. So we made up our own words, and then we finally realized what it was and felt silly. And I was like, oh yeah, there it is. Now I can hear it. Mark 4:24 in the New Living Translation says, then he added, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more." As a side note there, have you ever listened to someone talk, heard the words, and then heard something beyond what they said? Right? I think that is truly listening. Not just listening to the surface meaning and the surface words, but taking it all in from heart to heart. Personally, I think that's another gift from God. In Mark 4:9, then he said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." And one of my favorites I had to have in two translations. Romans 10:17. New Living Translation says, "So faith comes from hearing," that is, hearing the good news about Christ. In the Amplified, it says, "So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself." We have a whole book full of teaching. And of course, we also know that everything that Jesus said and did couldn't fit in the Bible because the book would be too big. So the Bible's the highlights. But if he talked that much then, do you think he stopped talking?
No.
I think sheep people stop listening. When someone important speaks, it's important to listen to him. God speaks to people who seek to hear him with humble hearts and to those who will faithfully act upon his spoken word. We were out of town last weekend. We stopped at a gas station. Kay went inside to use the facilities. I was putting gas in the truck. My mom was coming to Salt Lake from Price because she had been here for a funeral. We were coming back from Idaho because we went camping with friends. Putting gas in, cleaning off the windows, I looked over and I went, oh, look, there's money. So I ran over and stepped on it, and then I realized the wind wasn't blowing. And I was really thankful I was by myself and there was no one there to witness. I'm sure the cameras were on, but I was like, oh, well, that's kind of embarrassing. The wind's not even, it wasn't moving. I mean, you see money and you think it's moving. It was a $5 bill. I have no idea who had been there, and, you know, it's a gas station. There's been tons of people. It was $5. It wasn't 20 or 100. It wasn't something that somebody I thought would be hurt by, so I picked it up and stuck it in my pocket, and I thought, well, what does that mean? And then it occurred to me, I have a $50 bill sitting in my nightstand that's been there for ages. I was like, oh, maybe my mom needs that, because there's my 10%, right? She can have the rest. It was a great reminder, and yeah. And then they broke down on the way home, so I'm sure it came in handy.
Amen.
There are at least 10 ways that God speaks in the Bible. And there should be a list in your bulletin. I'm sure I have longer notes than you do. First one is through circumstances, and you can use that as an example. Oh, there's money. I need to give money to my mom. That was completely unplanned for. The examples that were given in the book are Jonah. God spoke to Jonah. Jonah ran away. He got swallowed by a big fish. He got spit out onto a beach after he repented. God grew shade and then let it wither and die. And Jonah got all cranky. And God's like, I'm the one who did this for you. What is your deal? Jonah apologized and repented. And then he was finally obedient. But when our circumstances are questionable or rough or we don't understand what's going on, we need to ask, what's happening in my life? What is the Lord telling me? The second thing is through wise counsel. And the only note I have on this is Proverbs. There is an entire book, 31 chapters in Proverbs, that are full of wisdom and advice. When we seek godly counsel, we can hear the voice of God. And the counsel always complements Scripture. Your wise counsel that you hear has to match the message in the Bible. Otherwise, it's probably not from God. Because we're sheep. Life gets busy, and God's voice is not the only voice we hear. The third thing is through peace. And Colossians 3:15 tells us, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That was the important part. I forgot to take out the rest of the text on the screen. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. But let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. And Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, Kay told us about refinancing or signing the house and not being stressed out about it. It's an easy example. That $5 I found in that $50 bill sitting in my nightstand. Okay, she needs it more than I do. I have money in the bank. It's fine. There was no anxiety about letting go of the money. Like I've said before, money has become the easier thing to give. Number four, through people. And this one I get to read off the screen. In Acts 21, 10 and 11, after we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. We hear from other people. I think that is the most common way we hear. I hear most commonly through other people. Sometimes somebody will say something that just hits in a certain way, that aha, light bulb moment. Reading through this book, this chapter, there were several. Oh, I never thought of it that way. I never looked at it that way. I love when people do the research, put the time in, and put all the thoughts together. Because I don't necessarily hop from Acts to Hebrews to Romans. I don't do all of the jumping to find them topically. So it's really nice when someone does that. And I can stop and think, oh yeah, I never saw that before. Number five, through dreams and visions. Amen. And there's a whole list of people, a whole big list of people. So my short list has Joseph. Remember Joseph and his multicolored coat? Told his brothers that they were going to bow down to him. And he told his parents that they were going to bow down to him, and the brothers took him and threw him in a hole. Something that the author pointed out is that he never dreamed again after that. There are no more recorded dreams of Joseph's. He interpreted dreams for other people, but he didn't have any more recorded dreams. Do you think that going and telling was the smartest thing? Hey guys, guess what? I had this dream, and I'm going to be on this stage, and all of you are going to sit here and bow down to me. How does that make people feel? course, that's not a dream, and we take turns, so that's not that's not really a big deal. But you have, right, and you have, Joseph was second to the youngest, and he has all these, 10 older brothers? And he's telling them, oh, you know, and he's already the favorite. It is. It's absolutely maturity. When we mature, we learn to keep our mouth shut sometimes. Or we have more discretion about what we say to who and when.
If we're listening, and God tells us to shut up, hopefully we're listening to shut up.
Right.
Sometimes that doesn't happen either.
Another one was Jacob, who dreamed about breeding goats when his uncle Laban said, no, you have to work another 7 years for the second daughter. He dreamed about the spotted and striped. Mm-hmm. That came from a dream. Solomon dreamed. I did look it up. I don't remember what it was, but he did. Peter, and I like Peter's. Peter's was great because he was sitting on the roof having quiet time when he had the vision about the big cloth and what's clean and unclean. God tells him, what I call clean, don't let anyone call unclean. And then he goes off to hang with the Gentiles, the unclean people. And John, in Revelation, I mean, that whole book is a big vision and dream for him. Number 6 is through thoughts. Amos 4:13. He who forms the mountains, who creates the wind, and who reveals his thoughts to mankind. That says man, mine says mankind, and that's the important part of that verse. Number 6, through thoughts. So who formed the mountains? God formed the mountains, creates the winds, and reveals his thoughts. God reveals his thoughts to us. In Matthew 1:20, but while he thought about these things, behold, let me back up a little bit. There's a little bit of background here. This is Mary tells Joseph, I'm pregnant. I haven't had sex. And so he's like, oh, what am I supposed to do with this? So this is Jesus' dad, Joseph. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph took a time out and he was pondering. He was thinking and he got a message. I think that happens sometimes. Oh, I was thinking, and then I don't know where this thought came from, but, and I do that all the time. I don't know where it came from. And Kay says, really? You don't know where it came from? And then I roll my eyes and say, thank you. Number 7 is through natural manifestations. The voice of God can be revealed through mountains, water, trees, meadows, landscapes, and more. How many have spent quiet time outside and just enjoyed creation? Knowing that God put it all in motion. Last week, we were sitting around the campfire looking at the stars. Ridiculously, the stars do not come out until 10 p.m. when you're in Idaho.
Or later.
One of the fun campfire conversations, I think, was talking about realizing and recognizing that this is all here because God spoke. It's God's words. Creation had to hear. But God spoke. I was telling the girls that most translations say in Genesis, God said, let there be light. One of the fantastic messages I listened to said, if you look at the original Hebrew and translate it, it doesn't say, and God said, let there be. God said, light be. It was a command. It wasn't a request. It wasn't a simple small voice. It was a command. And because of those words, we're able to reap the rewards still. John 12:28 and 29. Jesus says, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. I don't want my ears to be so plugged. I don't want to be that sheep who can't hear when God speaks. I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear him say, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again."
Amen.
But instead, you have a group of people saying, "Did you hear that? It sounded like thunder. I wonder what's going on." That makes me so sad. There's a whole crowd of people. It's thunder. Oh, must have been an angel. And that's that. They didn't hear God's voice, and they didn't hear the actual words. Number 8, we have supernatural manifestations. In Exodus, Moses found a burning bush and didn't run away, like I probably would have. But that's how we opened this series. We talked about Moses and the burning bush and him not running away. But wait, it's burning, but it's not consumed. But it's burning, so he went to check it out. And like Kay talked about, in Judges, we have Gideon with the fleece. "Please God, let the fleece be wet and the ground dry." And it was. And he's like, "Well, will you indulge me again? Let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet." And he does. And in Acts, we have Saul, who was off to persecute the Christians, and he sees a bright light and gets knocked off his horse. And then, you know, Saul becomes Paul, one of the greatest missionaries ever. In Numbers, poor Balaam had to deal with a talking donkey because he wouldn't listen. The donkey could see, the man couldn't see. Definitely a supernatural manifestation. When's the last time you heard an animal actually talk coherently? Number 9 is through the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right." Romans 10:17, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." The word of God. And where do we find the word of God? Between the covers of a book, on a phone, on a computer, any number of places. And don't discount all those books that people write, because the inspiration comes from somewhere. When we read those books, we need to pray that we take the meat of it and leave the bones behind, because sometimes they're not completely true. They're a little misconstrued. So it's just something we need to be cautious and aware of. Not everything we read is true, just like not everything pastor says is right. Which isn't to say we shouldn't trust him, but we should take the time and make the effort to look it up for ourselves.
No matter what preacher you're listening to, you always have to go back and do your own work.
I was reading through the book, and it was like, oh, well, this verse in this translation says this, and I thought, does it really? So I ended up with 5 Bibles spread out in front of me, and my laptop and my phone, to make sure that was the best translation for today's message. Then I felt silly to have all those books all over the place, but oh well, that's why I have them. And I enjoy using them, because sometimes one will say something better than another, like all those Mark 4:24s we had, New Living Translation, Amplified, NIV, but they all say the same thing a little bit differently, and Connie might hear one better than the other. It might not make as much sense when it's more formal, and it might make more sense when it's in more everyday language.
Amen.
Number 10. This is a little bit long, but I think it's worth it. Number 10 is through a whisper or a still small voice. And I love this story. I don't know why, but I really, really enjoy this story. Always have. God's talking to Elijah. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The windstorm makes me think of the Bountiful, Centerville, whatever they have, when we get those big storms and those gusts come down at 80 miles an hour, tears shingles off, knocks trees over. God wasn't in the windstorm. California just had earthquakes. God wasn't in the earthquake. Arizona was on fire by Flagstaff, and I watched a video last night while I was preparing. I took a little mental break. And it showed this mountain that's burning outside of Flagstaff, and you can see all the billows of smoke. And then you see the clouds, and you see the rain cloud come through and pass by in the time lapse, and there's no more smoke. I don't know if it put it completely out, but it went from this great, big, scary fire to here come the rainstorm. It was really cool. He can do it. I would say that God was in that rainstorm.
Amen.
The second point is that we are careful stewards of God's voice when we respond in humility. So we need to steward how we hear. And because there's not very many of us, I'm going to pick on our boy there. During his soccer game, what I heard and what I heard about was him being very coachable, very attentive, and very obedient. What I saw for myself was every time the coach spoke his name, his head turned. He was tuned in. He was listening to the coach, listening for the next direction. Change the position. Do this, do that. Go here, go there. Get on your person. And I thought that was a beautiful example of this whole thing. Because of the humility and the attitude that came with it. Because how easy is it to say, "You can't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. I know how to kick the ball." I think it's easy for us to get locked in our own thinking. So stewarding how you hear, very important. This brings us to another long one. In Luke 8, 4 through 15, a farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. I really don't want to be that thorny sheep, right? Because the message is getting crowded out by all of the technology and all of the toys and all of the other fun things there are to do. I don't want to be that sheep. I want to be good soil. Luke 8:18 tells us, "So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, but for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them." And the third thing, we are careful stewards of God's voice when we heed his words. So we need to heed what we hear. So remember, take heed means listen and pay attention. Consider carefully. And the example on that one was Jonah. Jonah heard from the Lord. He ran the other way. God caused a storm. He ended up in a big fish. He finally listened. Heed what you hear. Robert Morris said that he was on a trip to New Zealand. He and his wife were in New Zealand for something. They went out to lunch, and some people are more sociable than others, so they were having a conversation with the waitress to find out that she didn't have a New Zealand accent. She was American, but her husband had moved there for work. He got a word that he was supposed to invite her to church. And he's sitting at a table with other people, and things happen, and life gets busy, and they left. But the person who brought them their check wasn't the original waitress. Well, you know, okay. They got out to the parking lot, and he had this really strong impression that he needed to go find the waitress and invite her to church. And he finally had his aha, God's talking to me. So he went back in, asked for the waitress. She was on break. "Well, will you go get her for me, please? I'm sorry. I know you need your break. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have this message that God's telling me I'm supposed to invite you to church." And she starts to cry. Because they were new to New Zealand, she and her husband were talking about needing to meet new people, and had just that morning or the night before been talking about finding a church in which to meet people. So he was thankful that he listened, because not only was he obedient, it was an answer to her prayer, and he got her in a good Bible-believing church. Because sometimes you don't know what's going to happen when you walk through the doors of a church. And that is all of my note cards. Are you happy? The last chapter of the book says closing prayer, but it's a series of prayers. It's a prayer to hear God's voice. "Oh, Father God, I begin by worshiping you. I say with the psalmist that the heavens declare your glory and the skies show your handiwork. You are mighty, and you are due strength and adoration and glory. I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of your holiness. You reign, and I praise your great and awesome name, for you are holy. You love justice. You are righteous. I exalt you, Lord, and I worship at your footstool. You are great. You are always good. Amen." Jesus, God has highly exalted you and bestowed on you the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Amen. O Holy Spirit, you are eternal. Your presence is everywhere, and your hand leads us, and your right hand holds us. You search all things, even the deep things of God, and you reveal these things to those who love you. You are our helper, Holy Spirit, and the Father sent you to us in Jesus' name, saying that you will teach us all things and bring to remembrance all things that Jesus said. Amen. O God, I confess to you my sins. You are faithful and just to forgive and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You promise that though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Amen. Help me always by your mercies to present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, which is my spiritual act of worship. O Lord, I do not want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed by the renewal of my mind, that by testing I may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. O Lord, I am reminded in Scripture that you invite us to draw near to you, and that you will draw near to us. I enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. I give thanks to you and bless your name. Amen. Lord, your word tells us that you bring out your own sheep and you go before them, and the sheep follow you, for they know your voice. Help me to hear and know your voice, O Lord. I want to quiet myself to anything except you. Jesus, I am reminded that you call us your friends and that the things you hear from your Father you make known to us. O Lord Jesus, help me to live as your friend always. Amen. God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I pray now for the light of your word in my life. You long to both meet with me and speak with me, and I pray for that kind of close relationship with you. I boldly come before your throne of grace that I would obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Amen. I pray the same words as Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I pray I would hear nothing except your voice. I pray that you would confirm to me your voice by your word. Take me to the scripture you want me to read. Bring to mind your word that you want me to know. Direct my paths and make them straight. Impress upon my heart your word for my life. Amen. I pray for the peace of God that rules in my heart, that your word and peace would be the deciding factor in how I live. I am reminded in Scripture that you are a good God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I pray now for the strength and power by your Holy Spirit to obey your word. I declare in prayer the words of Scripture that I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which you prepared in advance for me to do. Amen. I ask all these things now through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See how I couldn't pick one? I was like, oh, closing prayer. Oh, prayers. Oh, I guess I'll just read them all. So remember that one of our many jobs is to steward his spoken word. We need to be obedient to what we hear. He said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has will more be given. And from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. Let's take that minute and ask Holy Spirit what we're supposed to get out of the message. Father God, we thank you for giving us a place to belong, for putting us in a family of believers, for making us one of your kids. We thank you, Lord, for trusting us with relationship. We thank you for teaching us. We ask that our hearts and minds and ears would be open to hearing your voice and obeying your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.